He has his own podcast. What is it, y'all? Get my shit together.
Welcome to the Getting My Act Together podcast for Tuesday, October 31st, 2023. I hope your week is off to a great start. I hope you are having a big Halloween wherever you are. Have you ever met any people that don't like Halloween? Not like the goofiness of dressing up in costumes, but just someone who's like, it's kind of occultish. I've known a few extraordinarily religious people who don't. Halloween's pretty lame. It's not their thing. Anyway, I hope you're well. Okay, where am I? I'm on my way home from Barrio X Brewing open mic Monday night in Barrio Logan, San Diego, Barrio C, Yonkes. No, I'm on my way home from that terrific open mic where there were like 6 real audience members and the bartender, and no one was talking. It was like playing at the Fox Theater in Atlanta. I got to go last. I did my usual, give them a few shekels for a couple extra minutes, buy a beer, get a couple extra minutes. Had a really good time, and working some new material. I'm very, very pleased with the adjustments I'm making. Writing is rewriting, okay? And if a joke is not working well, or you think it should work better, you think there's a great punchline there, I have found rewrite or write the goddamn premise better. So you lead the horse to water, and right when it's about to drink, you snap its neck and pull it over into this other thing, which is much more funny than the drink of water they would have taken. So enjoying the process. Fitfully, because tonight is Halloween, I'm not going to be going out. I will be parenting. I'll be going out trick-or-treating. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call into the comedy store anyway, because my wife is right. Halloween does end kind of early, so maybe I would, you know, have time to do Halloween with the girl and then make it up to the comedy store. It seems unrealistic, but after the fun I had tonight, I want to, anyway, happy Halloween to you. I'm in the car on the way back, and now, because I had fun down there, and I had 3 quarters of beer, do I feel like stopping at every bar in my neighborhood that's open and presumably has no people in it to say to them, so why don't you do a comedy show here? You want to do an open mic on a Monday night after Monday Night Football ends? On the West Coast, I don't know what time it ends, but I know it ends early. It's over by now. Sorry, it's midnight on the East Coast, and it's 9 o'clock while I'm talking to you right now. So that's what I'm thinking about doing. There are a few spots in my neighborhood, on the main drag in my neighborhood, that I feel like, why don't you... Then what am I going to be doing? I'm going to be talking to the bartender is like, dude, I don't fucking know. You know why I don't know? I'm lowest man on the totem pole, and you know that because I'm bartending on Monday night. The only shift that's worse that I recall from the restaurant and bar days is Sunday brunch. If you worked Sunday brunch in a restaurant this weekend, this podcast is for you because you are not respected by the people that you work for, and that sucks. But you're also probably the newest, so, you know, there's a pecking order to all things. Speaking of labor relations, here is the first shoot that I'm coming by. Let me take a look. I crane my head in. I see a pool table. I see when was the last time I had a beer in that place? 20 years ago. I'm going to go check it out. Speaking of positive labor relations, you're aware that our friends, the auto workers, are, I think, gaining some very substantial concessions from Detroit, as they like to call it. And I'm thrilled to hear that. Because you know what? Management's going to make its in the long run anyway. It's going to make its money, and it's going to maintain the upper hand. Trust all of my pro-management, pro-anti-labor people. You're going to be fine in the long run. What this is about, what these sort of settlements usually are about, are these agreements, these bargaining agreements, is just about the people who are losing a little bit less. So you can say, well, they're gaining all this and they're taking all this. You're still profiting. You're still going to be immensely satisfied with your goose when it comes home to roost. Anyway, glad to hear that. While I'm searching for parking here and deciding, while I'm searching for parking here, you know what happened to my daughter? For the first time, coincident with us talking about the Ramones the other day, this Monday, today, she and my wife, because we have an annual pass, she and my wife went to the zoo for about an hour and a half in the afternoon, and my daughter, who was wearing a Ramones shirt that somebody got her, or my wife got her, I don't know exactly where the Ramones shirt came from. Where's the bar here? Anyway, my daughter, who's 4 and a half, was wearing a Ramones shirt. And my wife relayed the story that the girl was asked, is that it right there? Sorry, I'm looking for a place to park while engaging the mobile. I'm going to park right in front of this goddamn bar after I take a big U-turn. My daughter is wearing a Ramones shirt at the age of 4 and a half. My wife and I, very much not signs in our yard people, very much don't wear a lot of stuff that signals our allegiance because we're milky and weak, and we don't take, just because it's not our thing. We don't do a lot of like, what do? We feel like if our actions are not enough, then the words are hollow. I don't know what I'm trying to say. We're just not the kind of parents who are buying their baby Slayer t-shirts to signal our baby's cool. But we are, I guess, because somewhere along the lines, and I know I didn't buy it, a Ramones shirt has, who cares about our neuroses? A Ramones shirt is on my daughter today at the age of 4 and a half. She's at the zoo, and in a seemingly rite of passage, as a woman wearing a band shirt, or a girl wearing a band shirt, some man asked her a specific question about the band to test her allegiance. And you know what? I get it. I don't do it now, but I could see myself being 23 and seeing some person, maybe not even a girl, but maybe a girl if I was sexist at 23, saying, oh, I see you're wearing, pick your band. You're wearing an Iron Maiden. That's probably one that would get me. You know what it has gotten me? An Iron Maiden shirt. You see someone before you realize it's a fashion statement wearing an Iron Maiden shirt. And your first thought is, why are you wearing an Iron Maiden shirt? Because you don't know it's fashion. To you, it's Iron fucking Maiden. And you think, boy, when I was a kid, you had to earn an Iron Maiden shirt. Not only did you have to go see Maiden among men in jeans and leather with knives and tempers. You know what I mean? Like, you had to earn the passage through a Maiden concert. Additionally, you had to earn the shit people were going to give you for wearing a Maiden shirt. Who? The cops. The principal, the teacher. As you have a t-shirt with Eddie's face on it. And it says peace of mind. I am going to be able to pull right in here. And maybe hit a biker. But you had to earn a Maiden. Here's the point. You had to earn a Maiden shirt. You had to, you know, when I was a kid, you were going to get a little bit of stick for wearing a Maiden shirt. Certainly the meddlers would think you're cool, and certainly you would think you're cool, and your buddy John Johnson's older brother would think you're cool for wearing a Maiden shirt, but it was not just something you bought at a grocery store and put on. I'm parked in front of the place. So I could see in that youthful mentality saying, or thinking to myself, she has a Maiden shirt on, she probably doesn't even know that, you know, Bruce Dickinson is not Maiden's first lead singer. It was Paul Di'Anno before that. And you know what? Your host on the podcast, I think, said Nico McBrain played drums. on Number of the Beast, and I don't think he did. I think he toured the record, but before that, it was Clive Burr. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I could see myself like being like, I'm a real Maiden fan. And by the way, I told you we don't have many friends out here in California. Well, one of my friends sent me a text 4 days ago saying, hey, Maiden is coming to some amphitheater in San Diego in October of 2024. Are you interested? And I said, yes. I am interested in seeing Iron Maiden next year. Bob Place and I were going to go see Kiss in Atlanta before COVID hit. And my wife said to me, because Bob said, do you want to go see Kiss? And I was like, I'll go see anybody with Bob Place. That's how much I love him. But my wife said to me, when are you going to tell him that you don't like Kiss? And I said, probably at the show. Anyway, I'm going to go see Maiden next year if I'm still here. If we're all still here in late 2024. So I could see seeing someone's t-shirt and saying, oh, you're not a Maiden fan. You don't know this esoterica like I just described around Bruce Dickinson and, you know, Clive Burr and what's your favorite record? And 22 The Avenue, and what does that have anything? Does that, is that song related to Charlotte the Harlot? Show me some legs, Charlotte the Harlot, take me to bed. You know what I mean? What about Adrian Smith? Do you like him on guitar? And you realize that Dave Murray, who played bass, also is a West Ham fan. Yeah, I had fun at Barrio X Logan. Barrio X Brewing tonight. That's why I'm hyped. So anyway, I know women who... Jenny Jennings, a comic, has a bit about wearing a Tom Petty shirt and just bros broing out and are like, Tom Petty? Like, what's your record and song? Because we're dudes. We're fucking idiots sometime. And instead of just going, oh, hell yeah, that's a sweet shirt. And you know what? I don't know, that's my only line I was going to have for that imaginary character. Sweet shirt. Or, you know what would even be better is like see like a young kid wearing a Rolling Stones logo and say, fucking Stones suck, dude, you know? Look at the lyrics. The Stones don't suck. I love the Stones. But look at some of the lyrics, okay? Search Stones N-word and see what you come up with. It was a different time. My daughter, 4 and a half, is wearing the Ramones shirt at the zoo. My wife tells me, some guy says to her, what is your favorite Ramones song? And my daughter said, Blitzkrieg Bop. And in the way, it makes me feel good because it was an authentic... We weren't just putting an AC/DC shirt on her and sending her out into the world like, hey, look at us posing. That's another Gen X thing. I think that's why we don't put the, you know, dresser head to toe in whatever we're trying to signal to the world is we don't like posers. If it sounds like someone driving golf balls onto the top of my car, which it probably doesn't, the bar I'm outside of has one of those basketball arcade shooting games. And you're like, wow, that's probably fun to do comedy in there. And it's a man and a woman shooting next to each other. God, would you just go home and take off your clothes already? The basketball game. Who can score more points? Attaway, she's winning. It doesn't feel posy. That my daughter, and then of course I was like, hell yeah, girl. And then she apparently pointed at the baseball bat on the Ramones t-shirt, and she said also, beat on the brat. I was like, all right. And his favorite song by the Ramones was I Want to Be Sedated. And I was like, well, girl, that's like Ramones 101. He's as much of a poser as anybody in this story. But the funny thing he said, apparently, according to my wife, was he said to my daughter, how long have you been listening? How long have you been a fan? I'm like, dude, she's 4, you know? That's the ceiling to how long she could have been engaged with the band. So she's out there. She's a woman in the world having a bro try to bro. Or maybe he was just being nice. I don't know. But she's having things bro-splained to her. So So I'm outside this bar. I'm going to go in. I'm going to order the cheapest draft beer they have, and I'm going to drink. We'll see how it goes, but I'm not going to drink all of it. That's what I like to do. I like to order the cheapest draft beer because it's usually something I like. Light lager. Do you have a Pilsner? This place does not have a Pilsner. And I'm going to see what it could look like for a comedy show, if it's reasonable at all. And then I will come back and record more of the podcast. I'm not going to fucking go to a million bars here, but I'm going to see how this one goes. And by the way, who dressed up at a Halloween? Who dressed up? This is what having a kid will do. It'll get you to dress up for a goddamn Halloween party. And that's what I did over the weekend. So I'll be back in a minute. You won't know the difference, but beat on the brat. All right. Well, that first place is not going to be the spot. Why? Well, because there are two rooms to the bar. The one is where the basketball game happens, and there's a pool table there. That's just a bunch of shit in the way. And then the main room where the actual bar is has pool tables, and it's too tight. It's too compressed. They're not going to stop pool on a Monday night. There were also 15 people in there, which is, it's just not the place. That's all. That's what I learned. Now, I am back in the car. I had half of the beer, which was $7 draft. That's me just throwing money around. A $7 draft. I had maybe a third of it. I'm going to try one more place on my way home. This bar, which is very promising because it's an Irish bar. Like, I thought I had an inn at another Irish bar, but nothing's come of it yet. So I'm going to check out this bar, see what happens, and back shortly. Big inhale and exhale. All right, so I'm back home now, recording. Obviously, don't need to really say that. The second spot I went into will not have comedy because it's just one room and it would have to take over the whole bar to do it. And I don't think I want to do that. I think I'd like it comedy to be adjacent to the main bar, and the place was just too small, but it was pretty great. It was a little grimier, which would be perfect. When I walked in, there were 9 people seated at the bar. There was a woman with a cow costume on. There was a woman with a... And you know what? I don't even know if it was a costume or not, because the Raiders played tonight. There was a woman who was wearing a Raiders jersey. So it might have just been she was out and not dressed like a Raiders fan. And they were seated with a guy who looked like he was dressed like the John Belushi samurai character. And when I walked in, they were just hollering along to Dear Mama by Tupac. And they were... The one line that stuck out to me was... when Tupac says, never knew his dad. And then... because the fucking coward or whatever the lyric is, it's not friendly to his father. And I was like, as soon as I heard those women singing that at the top of their lungs, I looked at my watch like, I should probably go home. I should go home and be a good dad. It's not, comedy's not going to happen there. But it was pretty entertaining. The trio of people to my left, quartet of people to my left, Raiders fan, well, not a costume now because the Raiders are playing the Detroit Lions on TV. Raiders fan, woman dressed as a cow, Belushi, and the other person. The action came when Too Short, I'm a Player. This is so there's some Bay Area, there's some Tupac, there's Too Short, and Too Short's I'm a Player was on the jukebox, and the cow got up and started twerking as the cow. So you have to envision a cow twerking. And I was giving them their space. I was not
Oh, hey, you're having a good time. Wow, this is fun. I remember this record. I was letting them do their thing, staring off into the distance at a dot on a wall, not making eye contact with anybody, but I was aware that the cow was twerking very well, listening, or I don't want to say very well. By the way, if you're a fan of twerking, you should follow Lola Stax. LolaStaxx. And tell her when you follow her that I told you to follow her. She is a friend. She's a former co-worker from the Laughing Skull Lounge. She's very good people and very good twerking. So if you're looking to have a little more twerk in your life, do follow her. So, 04 had a good time. Barrio X Brewing. 0 for 2 though on spots near my house being comedy spots. The first place just not going to work because of the basketball machines. We, you know, because you've been listening to me, it's 20 minutes later, 40 minutes later. But I'll keep searching. I'll keep looking. I'll find the place. Hopefully you're listening to this on Halloween day and you're going out tonight, and hopefully you are throwing caution to the wind, or you're secure enough in who you are as a person, someone who listens to this podcast, someone who knows that the host of the podcast accepts you exactly as you are, supports you unconditionally, maybe like, unlike, I should say, people across your life. But you're gonna leverage that vulnerability, that security, to dress up like a fucking idiot tonight when you go out. I have not dressed up for most of my adult life, and I probably was from insecurity or being too cool for school. And I don't want to say it's better dressing up, but it's not worse than not dressing up. I know that. I dressed up over the weekend. I dressed up and went with my family. By the way, if you have a kid, that will make you disregard any, I don't want to say every, but any insecurity you may ever have about looking like a goofball, because you're not out there trying to pull wool. You're just trying to have a good time with your family. Anyway, I've gone too far down the rabbit hole here of self-analysis. I'm going to go out tonight with my daughter, who has been the tooth fairy on Friday and Saturday. And when we went out Saturday night to a party, because I don't have any stand-up comedy dates on the books, aside from opening for Ian Bagg the night before Thanksgiving, which, when you listen, or, you know, which will be in the month of November, so very exciting, in Escondido at the Grand Comedy Club. But I had Friday night off and Saturday night off. Saturday, we went to the most amazing, ostentatious, over-the-top, luxurious, ridiculous party, Halloween party I could possibly imagine. And how did we get there? Well, we drove, but how did we get connected to the party? It was put on by a friend of my juggling instructor, who has this huge house way up in North County, San Diego, and it had everything you could possibly imagine. It was, you know what it was like? It was like going to the Wonka factory, the chocolate factory. So, except it was cooler. It was way more decorated. There was way more Halloween shit. There was food in every room. There was a kids' room that had almost like a chocolate fountain, almost like there were some Oompa Loompas working. It was incredible. They had a pinata for the kids. They had pumpkin painting for the kids. We went there in the kid hour, right? So 6:30 to 8:30, something like that. You got the sense that maybe after we and all the other kids left, that it would turn into a bit of a adult affair. And the Oompa Loompas would come out and do what they do best. But there was like a shot bar that had not been opened yet, or it didn't look like anyone had accessed it. We had a great time. I got a costume Saturday morning. I dropped the ladies off at gymnastics. I've worked my daughter's taking gymnastics. My daughter plays soccer. She wants to play the saxophone, she calls it. But I have worked the fact that she takes gymnastics into a bit. There was a bit that needed a little bit more, and now I talk about how I take her to gymnastics, and just because I do that does not mean that I work for Michigan State or coach at Michigan State. And I actually tried that little tag on it tonight at Barrio X Brewing. And so synonymous is Michigan State with a molesting gymnastics coach that the joke worked for the 6 civilians that were there and the bartender who was paying attention during my set. Shout out to him and the host's girlfriend. So while I dropped the ladies off at gymnastics on Saturday, I went to Party City Halloween store and paid $38 for a costume. I paid $38 to dress as a leopard, which is essentially a onesie. I guess it feels like a onesie. I know they're coming back in fashion, or have been back for several years, for women. Rompers, you think you call them? Maybe guys in Brooklyn wear them too. But I looked for a cow, didn't have my size. I think that was about it. I haven't dressed up in years. I couldn't tell you the last time I dressed up. I dressed up maybe in 2006, something like that. I dressed up to go to a sort of punk rock dead people party. So I was kind of like a even more dead looking Sid Vicious. Choosing the costume Saturday morning was, $38, the leopard thing. It was very, complicated, because I don't know any of the popular characters. I don't know any of the people from the movies. I don't care about Harry Potter. I would have loved to have been Ursula, but also I don't want to go so big, like now I'm going in drag, Ursula drag. I like Ursula from The Little Mermaid, but also I don't like her at $50 or $70, whatever the price point was. Doesn't fucking matter. It's not moving thing along. Party City was going crazy on Saturday. I got the $38 leopard costume. Wore it Saturday night. Had a great time. Because this party was insane. The host, the wife of my juggling instructor's friend, they had like a table where my wife and I were sitting with the girl and having like our snacks and food and whatever. And in the middle of it was like a fire pit, essentially. In the middle of the table. Wild, this place. It was like Epstein's Island. And the host, she came over and said, "Oh, I will light the fire pit in the middle. It's been a while since I've done this." And my daughter was already in the jumpy house, which they had two different... This is how this party was. There were two different jumpy houses for the kids. My daughter was away in the jumpy house. The host said, "Oh, it's been a while since I've lighted this thing. Let me see how it works." And I stood up and backed away because I'm sensible. And also historically, I've had an aversion to gas and electric, things you cannot see that can harm you. And sure enough, she clicked around. Do you hear anything? Do you smell anything? I'm like, "Yeah, I hear it and I smell it." And she's like, "Oh, well then I might as well click." And it's a good thing my wife and I have backed away, because I think that the flame that exploded out of that thing burnt our donuts. I don't, that's not a metaphor. I mean, like our desserts. Had a great time. Working further backward. Friday, I told you there was the school event because the school's so brilliant. Let's have the Halloween event start at noon, and the kids will be out of school, and their parents will have to take them. Today, professional growth day. Parents will have them again. This Friday, barbecue bullshit. If your kid doesn't want to stay past 11 a.m., you can take them home. You know what? We love our kids, so we'll bring them home. But we're also fucking paying you. Anyway, it's a good time had by all. Still love the school. Still hope they don't listen to this and throw us out, because I can't imagine being anywhere else. The school Halloween carnival on Friday was epic. I'm sorry, before I start talking about kids and Halloween, I was dressed up like a leopard. Excuse me. For 3 hours on Saturday night. And I kind of get it, furries. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you put on this. I kind of get it. I wore boxers underneath it, but I can see how you might not want to. And you might want to just hug up next to a cow who's twerking and see what happens. I'm a leopard. I'm a cow. Well, let's make a baby for Oakland. I kind of get it, furries. All right, so anyway, Friday we are at the school for the carnival, and there is what is called, I told you my daughter and wife, my daughter primarily, I imagine, I don't know how they did it, they collaborated. My daughter and wife made a cake. I mentioned this in the last podcast. They made a cake that it was to be entered in the cake contests at the school during the Halloween carnival on Friday. The cake was taken to school. As soon as my wife and I link up with my daughter at the Halloween carnival, someone tells us there is something called a cakewalk. Is that what it's called? A cake? Is that what it's called? Cakewalk? Apparently this is the thing I didn't know. Or I didn't. Apparently it's a thing a lot of people know about. I didn't have any idea what it was. A cake, this thing, it's like musical chairs. And as soon as you sit down, you're sitting on a number. And I apologize if you know what the hell I'm talking about, because this is the first time I'd ever seen it. You sit down, and the chair you're sitting on has a number on it. And I remember thinking, my girl is going to win this goddamn thing. She's going to win a cake. And if they call your number, you win a cake. And I'm like, I never think I'm going to be the lottery winner. I'm going to be the raffle winner or anything like that. But it was just my paternal delusion. This girl, my angel, my everything. A girl who, by the way, here's this child's life. She wakes up in the morning. She calls, Mama. I eventually kick my wife hard enough so she goes in there. And they lay down and sleep, snooze, whatever, or play around. And then when I get up a few minutes later, I go in there and snuggle with them as well. So my daughter is in between the two of us snuggling. She is the meat in the sandwich, if you will. And then at night, like tonight, before I went to Barrio X Brewery, we're saying goodnight. My wife has... So I was watching... I was watching Dragons, the Dragons from the San Diego band, and Ramones videos with my daughter. And then during book time, and then took her up and my wife read a book to her. And then we're wrapping up the book, she's again in between the two of us. She wakes up in a cocoon of parents, goes to sleep in a cocoon of parents, and we're probably overdoing it. and creating all sorts of issues. Anyway, I'm so confident that she's going to win. I'm like, I'm just like, I know she's got this. She's going to randomly be chosen. And the guy goes, number five. And there's nobody sitting on the number five. And he calls another number, number eight. Nobody's sitting on that. And then he calls number 10. And I said, girl, that's yours. She didn't really understand, like, you have to sit and wait for your number because it was happening pretty quickly. It was online. Not online, but I don't mean online, like internet. I mean moving quickly. Like, girl, you won. Go see what they say. And she goes up, and they put a wristband around her wrist, an orange Halloween wristband. And they said, you can get any cake you want from the cake room where all the kids did, I guess, what my daughter and wife did and made cakes, brought them, wrapped them up, and put them in the cake room. And the guy said, because you won this so early, you essentially have the pick of the litter. So my daughter's hyped. She's like, I get a cake? How awesome is this? And pardon me for my Afrin Barghezzi. By the way, did you see Barghezzi, a stand-up comic, hosted SNL and did a terrific job on Saturday night? Super cool dude. Anyway, they said, you get the pick of the litter, any cake you want. And immediately, we took off and went to the cake room, and it took us 25 minutes to find the cake room, only because we were given 7 different sets of directions by every school official that we saw. Ultimately, we got the cake, we looked, and my daughter's getting better at not like walking in and going, I want that one, like the first one she sees. Teaching a little bit of delayed gratification, and, you know, girl, door number 2 might be better than door number 1, and who knows, door number 5 could be even better. So she didn't go immediately for the one that looks like a cat as soon as we walk in. Walked around, found a cake, and took it home and had some of it Friday evening, and it was delicious. But as it is a Halloween carnival, we're having a great time. And you've heard me, if you go back to, well, I imagine a podcast 1 year ago, everything is fine at the Halloween carnival until someone sees face painting. And my parents out there, please tell me this connects with you. 15 underscore. By the way, I saw your latest review. Thank you so much. And yeah, it's all about the firefighters on this podcast. SDFD. It's about the firefighters. It's not about the police. By the way, the guy who brought me up tonight at Barrio X Brewing said, your next comic looks like a cop. He uses an alias like a cop. And then, you know, that's how he brought me up. Black dude. And then I said, when I got up there, more actually in the middle of my set, I said, I look like a cop to people who don't know what real cops look like, because I'm much softer, you know, and my I don't have as many calluses as a real cop does from holding a billy club and smashing someone's head. I said, I'm too soft to be a cop or whatever, or a pussy. I said, that's what I said. I said, I'm a pussy, dude. I'm not a cop. And when he went back up after my set, he said, Joe, you know what? If you're a pussy, you're perfect to be a cop, because that's all cops are. And he went, because they all gang up together, and it's never one-on-one. It's always 5, 10-on-1. And I want you to know that tension between police and black people also exists here in San Diego. All right, anyway, why that 15? Oh, because 15 brought up the firefighters. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, we spot I see it. I'm like, oh, fuck, I hope she doesn't see it. So we kind of steer her away. My daughter ultimately sees the face painting booth, and it's over. Some other episode of this show, you know, I've just been like, fuck these things. And sure enough, we did, and by we, I mean I, primarily, my daughter, secondarily, my wife, third, because she was going to volunteer at the carnival, 50 fucking minutes in the line. 50 minutes waiting to get the face painted. And it's not about, it's not worth it, or it's, well, I don't know, that's exactly what it's about. It's not about, like, I don't want you to have this paint on your face, or it's dumb. It just, what it does is it just stops the whole event. It stops the whole day and assigns 35% of the time to waiting in this fucking line. And that F word that I just used there was organic. It was not for effect. It came right out of me. Because face painting sucks. This one at least had two artists, but still, the line is like 27 children, and it takes 5 minutes to do each one of their faces, or at least, and it's brutal. You're standing there, and the sun's shining down. I'm like, I'm getting skin cancer, more skin cancer. And the other thing that happens is kids are the kids have all sorts of different ideas about standing in line and where my place is in line. And it's not exactly single file, so it spreads out. And you're the adult, so you can't be like, hey, bruh, you weren't there. You can't be sliding in front of my daughter because the kid's three. You know what I mean? It's not like he's 12 and you're like, hey, fucko, stay away. So there's a lot of like line behaviors and it was dreadful. But she got the goddamn face paint and enjoyed it. I wanted to say one more thing on Halloween before I wish you the happiest and safest. Please get home safely. Please drive safely. Please check your... Who the fuck puts razor blades in candy? It's never happened. It's a wives tale. There is a candy that my daughter got when the pinata exploded the other night, by the way, the Batman who was raising and lowering the pinata from like an upper deck. So he was hanging it like he's fishing it. The pinata goes down and right as the kids swing, he pulls it up. It's a very special Batman up there. He was having way too much fun pulling the pinata away from very small children. And I was roasting him and ragging on him. My wife's like, dude, fucking you're obsessed. Let it go. And then the more he did it, and then we did it to my daughter, my wife's like, what is the fucking deal with Batman? Like, he's a jerk off. That's why his wife is up there looking at him like, you're having way too much fun, you grown man. Or we're also like, well, maybe he's a doctor and this is how you make super successful kids. By getting them to stretch out of their comfort zones and, you know, not making anything easy for them. I don't know, but he was knob. He could have been the greatest guy in the world. He could work for Doctors Without Borders. But he was a knob to me because he was making hitting the pinata too hard. Like, dude, how long are we going to be here? Here's what I want to say. And the point of the pinata explosion is this. There is a candy that came out that my daughter got, that she showed me yesterday morning, that I have not tried, but I think if they get it right, the whole thing's over. And what I'm talking about, do you remember Sweethearts? And I say it just like that because my daughter's pronouncing it. She's reading everything phonetically and trying to sound things out. They're Sweethearts. They're not Sweethearts. Sweethearts. Remember those? Sweethearts, they're sour kind of candies. These are Sweetheart ropes, like licorice ropes, except they're Sweethearts. I don't know. I have not been in that sort of candy game for a long, long time. And if they're maybe overly sour, they're ruined. Like, I know the Sour Patch things have gone to the moon as far as, like, way too much sugar and sourness. But I'm so intrigued. This is so dumb. Have a great weekend. Have a great Halloween. Great rest of your week, and I'll talk to you on Friday.